evening. If you will, be taking your Bible and turning with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, life is what everyone wants. Life is what everyone seeks. Whether it's on the physical or spiritual plane, life is what people desire, even if they don't, if they do not regularly say it. That's what they're looking for. Want to live. We all fear death. We know that the opposite of life is death. However, when we look at this world, spiritually speaking, many people are seeking life in the place, in the ways, and in the things that only produce death and not life. Jesus said here in John 10, He declares that there would be those who come and say that they offer life, but He says in reality they are wolves and will harm the sheep. Notice what He says in verse 10 again, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That was the whole reason that Jesus came to this earth. He says in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then He goes on and says in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and thee life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So why? When we look at those around us today, when we talk to those around us today, our co-workers, those with whom we go to school, those people that we meet day by day, our neighbors, our friends, even those in our family, why do they seek life among death? Why seek life among the dead? And since we know that Jesus is the source of life, friends, it's not going to do us any good whatsoever to seek life among the dead. The dead referring to the world. Let's notice a few things now. Friends, we know that since Jesus is the source of life, He says He is the light of life, He says He is the way, the truth, and these life. Since He is life, He is the source of life, friends, there is no life to be found in dead religions. It's just not there. And that Israel had to learn that lesson. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. Notice what God says to Jeremiah, or says to the Israelites through Jeremiah here. Jeremiah, chapter 7 and verse 18. Let's start actually in verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Verse 18, the children gather wood. And the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Now we read way back in Exodus chapter 20, back in the lifetime of Moses, as he has come down from Mount Sinai, one of the Ten Commandments, or one of the things that God says in giving the Ten Commandments, is, Behold, I am a jealous God. And yet here we find His own people building fires, making offerings to idols. They were seeking life in the ways of the Canaanites. They were seeking life in worship to idols.
They were seeking life in a dead religion.
Notice what else Jeremiah records in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, begin reading with me in verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. In other words, God just plainly tells the Israelites here, these idols that you worship, they're inanimate objects. They can do nothing. They have to be carried because they cannot move. Their priest must speak for them, for they cannot speak. Neither do they have ears to hear. So God says, don't fear them. Don't try to appease them, because they are nothing. And yet we find the Israelites seeking life in dead religions. Now notice that this is the context in Jeremiah chapter 10, where Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Life is not in man. It's not there, friends. Life is in Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. So we must learn, as the Israelites had to learn. That was the purpose of their captivity. You notice that after they returned from captivity, that they never worship another idol. Now that doesn't mean they always worship God properly, but they never went seeking after idols again. God broke them of that. And so as the Israelites had to learn that there is no life in man's religions, so must we learn that fact, my friend, that there is no life outside of Jesus Christ. And friends, we say that with love. We say that with sincerity. But there is no life in Islam. There is no life in Judaism. There is no life in Catholicism or denominationalism or spiritualism. There's no life there. Because life is in Christ. You know, in my Bible studies, I've begun to ask a question, especially to those that have a distinct background in denominationalism. If we were to take every denomination of the entire world, and we were to find a time machine somewhere, and we were to transport everybody back to the first century, how many would find their church? Not a one. Why? They were not in existence. And friends, if I have an open heart, if I have an honest heart, I will realize that if I attend a church, if I'm a member of a church that was not established by the right person, Jesus Christ, that was not established in the right place, which is Jerusalem, and was not established at the right time, circa AD 33, then friends, I'm not a member of the Lord's church. And thus I have not found life. But I must have an honest heart. I must read God's Word with that open heart. You see, friends, all life is in Christ. And Christ says His body is His church. We read in 1 John 2 and verse 25. That indeed all life is in Christ, he says, and this is the promise. John speaking here. This is the promise that he hath promised. He being Jesus, he has promised us even eternal life. John goes on in 1 John 5 and verse 11, it says, and this is the record. It's been written down, it's been recorded for us, John says, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. It's a matter of record. He's given us eternal life. And He tells us where to find it. We can find it, my friend, in Jesus Christ. It's right there. Written in black and white for us to read. Therefore, friends, rather go to the religions of the world for life or living. Because, friends, we cannot find life there. We must seek Christ. We must seek His Word. So why seek life in places of the dead? Friends, one does not normally go to the graveyard to find the living. It's the place of the physically dead. And when we think spiritually, friends, there are places in life today that are not places to find life. People run to these, however, to find life. Again, go back to Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Man has always sought for life in himself. And yet Jeremiah points out matter-of-factly, "Oh Lord, I know it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I know the way of man is not in himself." We cannot find life in mankind. We cannot find life in the world, and yet that's exactly where people run. People want to live it up. You cannot have fun and be a Christian, they say. It's not true. Friends, as Christians, and as a Christian tonight, I stand before you one of the happiest men in the world. Because I have a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I've obeyed His Word. I've obeyed His Gospel. And as Christians, we ought to be that happy. We ought not to run to these things of the world to find life. Why? Because they're sources of death. They're sources of death. The wages of sin is what? Death. That's where man seeks life, though, as a whole. See, man will run to the nightclub. Man runs to the wild party, the after hours joint, the drug den. These are all obvious to some as places of death. Man seeks life therein. Want to live it up. There's no life there. You find miserableness. You find sin. But friends, if we would live, if we would find life, if we are among the living, we find ourselves then in the place where He is. In the place where Jesus is. And hence the place where life is. We will seek out Christ. Jesus, we know, came to this earth and evangelized among the world. But friends, what we notice of Christ is that He did not seek to be like the world. He did not seek to be one among the world, but rather people knew that Jesus was different. They knew by His speech that He was different. No man ever taught like this man, because He taught as one having authority. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, Jesus walked this world, my friend, but He was not of this world. And friends, if we are to be Christians, Christ-like is what the name means, then while we walk in this world, friends, we're not to be of the world. We're not to seek life in the world, but in Christ Jesus. Seek life, not among the dead, but friends, seek life among the living. You see, life is where the good shepherd is. Jesus called Himself the good shepherd. So if we want life, we need to find Jesus. We need to find Christ. Where is He? Where has He put life? Where has He placed it? He's placed it, my friend, in His church. See, life is in the Son. And as such, life is in the church. It is His body. It belongs to Him. It's the church in which He's placed salvation. Let's be putting away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. We find a very pertinent question placed to those that came to the tomb of Jesus on that Sunday after His crucifixion. In Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 1, we read, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," notice the question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" See, that's the beauty of being a Christian. I serve a risen Savior. Did you catch that? Jesus is not in that tomb. He's in heaven even now, sitting on the right hand of the Father, reigning over His kingdom. You see, world religions cannot claim that. Islam, you see, my friend Muhammad is dead and is still dead and will remain dead until the Lord come again. There's not an empty tomb where Muhammad is. He contains his body. Judaism is still looking for their Savior when He's already come. And while other world religions claim to serve Christ, my friend, Jesus says of those that claim to serve Him without letting it show in their lives, without following His word, they may do lip service, He says. While they draw nigh unto Him with their lips, He says what? "The heart is far from me." Friends, if we would have life, if we would find life, we must find it in Jesus Christ. Would you find life tonight? This evening? Would you find life? Would you be, as our brother said this morning, a fellow laborer with Jesus? Would you be His? Would you be washed in His blood? Friends, you see, God has given us His Word. He's told us what we must do to be saved in Scripture. And friend, if you would be saved, we must have faith, as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You must repent of sins, as we read in Luke 13 and verse 3. We must confess with the mouth. We must confess our faith in Jesus, as we read in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And friends, we must be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. It is then and only then, my friend, that we can find life. Because it is then that He adds us to His church, which Jesus calls His body, His kingdom. Would you have life tonight? Would you be His? Friends, are you here tonight having done those things? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you have life once more? Come out of that world of death, out of that world of sin. Friends, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need to return to Christ, would you do so now as we stand and as we sing?